Vanity Dies Hard, written by Ruth Randell and read by Eva Haddon.
Chapter 1. The rain stopped as they came into the town, but puddles lay everywhere, whipped and wrinkled by the wind. Wet leaves smacked against the windscreen and lay on the pavement like torn rags.
"This do you all right?"
Hugo asked. He pulled the car onto a parking area marked with crisscrossed white lines, as if for some intricate game.
"We're a bit tight for time, so if you think you can..."
"You might take her all the way," said his wife. "I call it mean, dumping people as if you were a bus. Besides, it's going to pour."
"I said we were late," Hugo snapped.
He turned to his sister.
"Okay, Alice? Now, the programme is, Jackie and I make a quick tour around Amalgamated Lacquers. There's some kind of a reception at 4, but we should be through before 5. Pick you up here again at 5?
"Lovely," said Alice.
She gathered up her umbrella and her handbag and opened the car door.
"Don't take any notice of him," Jackie said quickly. "Of course we'll call for you at Nestor's. Tell me the address again, will you?"
"Salisbury, S-A-U-L-S-B-Y. Chelmsford Road."
"But I can easily..." "Rubbish!"
She glared at her husband, and her black saucer-sized curls vibrated like antennae.
"If he had an ounce of chivalry... Oh, what's the use?"
For Hugo had already started the car, was putting it in gear. In silent rage, he held his left wrist extended, displaying the face of his watch. Alice stood on the pavement and gave a little wave.
"Love to Nestor and all that," Jackie shouted. "I hope she won't be in one of her moods. Mind you cheer her up before we come."
In one of her moods. It was not improbable. It would account for her long silence, her apparent refusal to answer most of Alice's letters. Perhaps she shouldn't have come. Certainly it would have been better to come in her own car, instead of impulsively begging a lift from her brother. Chelmsford Road might be anywhere, might be a mile away on the other side of the town. So, this was Orphingham, a narrow high street, rather consciously unspoilt. Houses that were called period because they had mostly been built before the 19th century. A few new shops, plane trees from whose trunks the bark peeled like flakes of olive-coloured paint. Above her, on a bright green mound, Alice could see the castle. Between gaps in the buildings, the Orff could be seen winding between water meadows. Alice thought it had changed little since the days when Constable painted it. A brown, looped river walled with willows. A pretty place for a woman of taste. Or a sanctuary for a weary spirit. Outside the town hall, there was a street plan, framed and glazed. Alice found Chelmsford Road at once. She smiled at her own trepidation when she realised that Nestor Street was one of the arms leading from the junction where she now was. As soon as she entered it, she saw that it was literally what it called itself, the road to Chelmsford. Wider than the street by which she had entered, it was affluent, rather than beautiful, and suggestive at first of a wealthy suburb. Many of the houses lay back, half concealed by high walls, with gates let into them under arched openings. It was not quite what she had pictured for Nestor. She had imagined a cottage with espalier apple trees and a porch of cockle shells. A little house, in Herrick's words, whose humble roof is weatherproof. There was nothing like that here, only huge gabled and turreted villas. Nestor probably had a flat in one of them. A light drizzle had begun to fall. Alice put on her grey, uncompromising packmack and opened her umbrella. As she did so, she couldn't help remembering how perfect Nestor always looked, how svelte. Her umbrella had been a pagoda-shaped affair, black, with a slender handle that looked as if it was made of onyx. Alice sighed. Even without a mirror, she knew exactly what she must look like. A pleasant, blue-eyed Englishwoman, no longer very young and never worth a second glance.